join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Be It Unto You by Pastor Chandler Bailey.
Someone say faith on a Friday. Someone say faith on a Friday. Someone whose background has not always been church, someone scream faith on a Friday. Okay. You got to get faith no matter what type of day it is. There are days in life where, you know, you can't find, the church's doors aren't open. You got to have the church in you. You have to have the church in you. I'm excited that our leaders found it appropriate to place this idea that God allowed me to steward. I remember reaching out to my father, asking him, I said, I just got my master's in Christian ministry degree. And at first, I was praying about how I could use this information to reach a context that was not religious. But I was asking myself, how can I reach a generation, a culture, and a climate of social media and online presence? So I first started putting, I just immediately took my notes and took all the theological clauses and said, let's expound on them and go. And I realized it was so long and it was so deep. And this generation likes to get it in 140 characters. And I said to myself, okay, and then what do you do when it's no longer the generation, but it's the culture? What do you do when people's lives are being changed at a swipe of a thumb? And they may not be in the format of tradition reading books with 140 plus pages, but they're making life-changing decisions with 140 characters. What do you do? You realign yourself with purpose, and we're going to talk about that. So once again, I'm excited to bring this word to you. Our foundational scripture is Acts 6 and 8. And I'm going to read the Passion Translation. It says, Stephen, who was a man full of grace and supernatural power, performed many astonishing signs and wonders and mighty miracles among the people. Someone say the people. It didn't say clergy. It didn't say leadership. It said the people. People at Aldi's, people at Food Lion, people in the cubicle, people on your sports team, people. The extraordinary being leaked out around the ordinary. Let's keep reading. Let's read in context. Acts 6. It says, during those days, the number of Jesus followers. Now we're being specific. We're no longer talking about people. We're talking about a specific people. The Jesus followers kept multiplying greatly. Okay? Acts 6, chapter 1. But a complaint was brought against those who spoke Aramaic, the Greek-speaking Jews who felt their widows were being overlooked during the daily distribution of food. The 12 apostles called a meeting of all the believers. Okay, now we're talking about a group of people. Someone say Jesus followers, and someone say believers. Now we're talking about believers, and they told them, not these are not ordinary, these are a set group. We told the believers, it is not advantageous for us to be pulled away from the word of God to wait on tables. We want you to carefully select from among yourselves, not the ordinary, among the church, among the godly, among the believers, among the Jesus followers who potentially are competent enough to lead other followers, 7 godly men. Now we're going to get more specific. Someone say there's more specifications here. Make sure they are honorable, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And we will give them the responsibility of this crucial ministry of serving. Crucial ministry of serving, not preaching, serving. Crucial ministry of serving, not writing a book, serving. Crucial. Not less important, not below us. This is important. But we feel led by the Holy Spirit not to stop reading the word and praying. It's not that we're more important than you. Our obedience as apostles requires us to tend towards this, but this is still critical and crucial. So let's not just pick someone who can just take trash out. No, you need to be anointed inside that. You got to be anointed to serve God's people. So this is crucial here. Crucial ministry of serving that will enable us to give our full attention to prayer and preach the word of God. Wow, God's flowing right now. I see why it was crucial. It was crucial because we didn't need to assign nobody that would distract leadership. We already had a lot going on. We're already dealing with a lot. We don't need to appoint no one that's going to bother us as well. I'm not going to hire you to bother me. I'm not going to appoint you to distract me. I'm not going to license you and give you influence and authority to cause chaos under me. So this is crucial that I select honorable, godly men, full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit, because you got to get answers without bothering me sometimes. You got to have your own prayer life, and you got to know how to have strategy and write your own documents up and do what you need to do to effectively serve. Crucial. Verse 5. Everyone in the church loved this idea, so they chose 7 men. One of the 7, someone say one. I love how the scripture keeps breaking down specifications. We started from dealing with people. Now we're getting closer and closer and closer to God's idea when it comes to the text. Everyone in the church loved this idea, so they chose 7 men. One out of the 7 was Stephen. Now check this out. Who was known as a man full of faith and overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Everyone else just needed to be godly and honorable. But this one was known as a man full of faith and overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Along with him, they chose. Now let me bring up the other people. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas from Antioch, who had converted to Judaism. All 7 stood before the apostles, who laid their hands on them and prayed for them, commissioning them into this ministry. All of them were licensed. All of them had hands laid on them. All of them were summoned. Only one acted like it. Notice that Stephen was one of the 7. However, he was also known for something else. He was inclusive, but yet still exclusive. I want to talk to people in here who you feel like you're surrounded by everybody and everybody's in it with you, but you feel like God has separated you still. And you're trying to figure out where this energy is coming from, and you don't know why you just don't fit in. You fit in because you got the knowledge, you got the wisdom, you got the spirit, you got the grit, you got the heart. But something about you just doesn't fit in. I want to talk to those leaders and those people who are in but not in. Like you want to get in, but God won't let you get in. Like you do everything else everybody else does to remain in. But something internal inside of you organically won't allow you just to be in. You're just not in for whatever reason. And it's beyond support and it's beyond haters. I'm not talking about that stuff. That's easy to get energy off of that. So God's word reigned supreme and he kept spreading. The number of Jesus followers in Jerusalem quickly grew and increased by day. Even a great number of Jewish priests became believers. Religious people started having a relationship and were obedient to the faith. Stephen, rehearsing again, just for review, Stephen, who was a man full of grace and supernatural power, performed many astonishing signs and wonders and mighty miracles. What happened with the other 7 among the people? This upset some men belonging to a sect group. Now we're mentioning another group of people called themselves the men set free. They were Libyans, Egyptians, and Turks. They all confronted Stephen to argue with him. But the Holy Spirit, someone say Holy Spirit, gave Stephen remarkable wisdom, not just average wisdom. This is remarkable wisdom to answer them. His words were prompted by the Holy Spirit, and they could not refute what he said. Let's pray again, because someone's about to get something today. Father, I thank you for your anointing in this place. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for all the people in here who have a lot of degrees, a lot of things on their resume that help us in life. But God, we don't want to end this year without getting that abundant life. So Father, there's something you want to give us spiritually in this session. We receive it and we declare it is now. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone say, it is so. Say, it is so again. Come on, someone say, is it so? It is so. So my question to you today is this. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it Superman? No. The title of my subject today is this. Be it unto you, man. Someone say, be it unto you. Be it unto you. Be it unto you. Be it unto you. It's a show that used to have something say, man. So I don't know where I got that from. But it worked for me to be obedient to write it down. But I want us to take a moment and just pause and reflect and look at everything you've been through this year. Look at everything you survived that you thought you wouldn't survive. Look at everything God brought you out of that your IQ did not bring you out of. Look at the book you read that you did not even use it this year, but somehow it came out of your spirit. God reminded you of it. Look at the information that became impartation. Look at the impartation that you executed that became someone else's information. Look at how your God kept you all year long. And I know I'm not by myself up here. If that is you, you need to give God praise. Because God has kept you, and you don't even know how he kept you. We need to pause and admire ourselves sometimes. We admire all these superheroes. I thank God for the word. We're getting a lot of good word here. A lot of good word from our pastors. I'm getting streaming audience. I'm getting a great word at my church. Some of you are being blessed right now. Some of you know prolific and dynamic speakers all across the world who are giving a great word. But when's the last time you admired your own testimony? When's the last time you looked in the scriptures of the living epistle and realize you survived that divorce because you were full of faith and God made you full of the wisdom? When's the last time you read your heart that God put back together, that you did survive that and nobody else went through that but you? There's no prolific speaker, no dynamic speaker that can relate to what God put in you. That one right there is be it unto you. That is your testimony. It is golden, and you would defeat the devil all day with it every day, because no one can defeat the devil like you, because no one has the same testimony like you. Because you're a Stephen, you're full of faith and full of wisdom. I can spend my whole life admiring others, and I do. Or I can start realizing there's something God placed in me to aspire to be. I can spend my whole life admiring or aspiring to be the best me God called me to be. Someone say, be it unto you. So God told me to tell you, there's a platform in you. There's a platform in you. There's a platform in you. There is something you are distinctively called to do that's uniquely assigned to who you are that no one can do but you, because it involves the significance that's only in you. There's a platform in you. There's a platform. And a lot of us don't know why you've been getting hit so hard. And you're like, why? I'm not even popular. No one knows my name. Why am I such under attack? Because there's something in you that's ready to attack the gates of hell when you release it. Someone say, be it unto me. There's something you're doing. There's something you are distinctly called to do that's uniquely assigned to who you are that no one can do but you, because it involves the significance that's in you. So we're getting this term full of faith. I want to get specific. We got our term full of faith by looking at the life of Stephen. It wasn't the others. It was him. From the perspective of how people noticed him out of all the seven, that's where we got the term. He wasn't just godly. He wasn't just reputable and honorable. The other ones had that. He was full of faith. On this Faith on a Friday, I want to talk to you from the perspective full of faith, but you have to have the attitude of be it unto me. You have to move from just admiring to aspiring. You have to aspire. You have to go after something that God has assigned to your life. You can keep shouting and thanking God for all the testimonies that we hear from this pulpit. But until you use your own and whip your own demon, you will continue to shout about how we beat our demons from up here. And in your kitchen, yours is waiting right there for you to get back home. Because the devil doesn't mind you praise breaking for someone else's breakthrough. But when you praise break for your own breakthrough, when you start doing what God told you to do, when you really work on your finances, when you release the pride and get the counseling and go through therapy and start taking your life and controlling your life and shaping your mind, and you have this attitude that I'm not looking for a superhero, I'm called to be my own. When you start taking your life, controlling your life, shaping your mind, renewing your mind, that's when you're a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Be it unto you. The despising, I want to encourage someone, the despising was strategic. The despising was for surprising. The inadequacy was about his sufficiency. People thought you didn't have what it takes. It was for them to see that God had what it took inside of you. So let's talk about inadequate. Paul felt inadequate. He prayed 3 times, getting no answer. But it wasn't about an answer. God's answer was this: Paul, you're enough. With that problem, with that thorn, you're enough to write all those letters. You're enough to travel the world. You're still enough. Even though people are talking about how it's leaking out of your flesh and you stink and you smell and it looks like you're sick, but you're healing other people, you're still enough. You're still enough for me to use you. Even though you feel like locally people can see what's going on with you, you're still called to global outreach, Paul. Don't get moved by all the local words. I'm still calling you to global vocabulary. You're called to the world. You got to appreciate those around you, but don't expect them to appreciate the gift. You are enough. The anointing is found in the areas that just don't add up. I want to encourage someone in here. You ain't on the front row today. You're in the seats and you're wondering what's going on. You're online and you just went ahead and just subscribed or you logged on for us. The anointing is found in the areas that just don't add up. I just came to prophesy to someone who's filled with potential but surrounded by problems. You're filled with so much. You got so much in you, but there's problems everywhere. Everywhere there's problems. Everywhere there's problems knocking at your door. Problems in your text message. Problems. All these problems around me. Why are all these problems around me? Why are all the... And you're looking for the answer. You're looking for the answer, but you are it. You are the answer. You are the answer. Problems and potential go together. Potential is the curiosity to solve them. Problems and potential go together. The despising was strategic, but the surprising, listen, I want to encourage you, the surprising will be magnificent. God is about to interlock you in a timely way across time zones to confirm the anointing and strategy that's on your life. Yes, time zone. Because what happens is the discouragement and the shade happens locally. So God will have to peel that away and give you a word of confirmation globally. He's going to interlock you across time zones, and you're going to feel like you relate to them and they don't know you. It's by the Spirit. Someone say by the Spirit. You're about to see patterns in the body of Christ that are going to confirm the gift that's inside of you. You're going to feel related to greatness through testimonies, not through bloodline. You won't know them, but their testimony will confirm what God placed in you. But everything to do with what God is doing is only about what's in you. You're about to connect with people across the world through one local prayer closet. That prayer closet, that simple obedience that you've been working on all year long is about to work out for your good. Someone say, be it unto me. Be it unto me. Touch your neighbor and say, be it unto me. Say, what's in it for me? Touch your other neighbor and say, what's in it for me? I just want to confirm some stuff to let you know that my prayer closet might have hooked up with your prayer closet. Whatever is inside of you is healthy, it's wealthy, and it's stealthy. The devil couldn't take it. You've been hidden in obscurity strategically. It's healthy, it's wealthy, and it's stealthy. Your checking account may not feel rich, but that idea that God placed in you is very rich. I'm going to say it again. It's wealthy, it's stealthy, and it's healthy. You've been hidden in obscurity. Someone say, be it unto you. Okay, let me confirm it. How many of you all know exactly right now where a classified weapon of mass destruction is? You know they're out there. You know our country has them. You know other countries are scared of us. They know that we have them. but they don't know where they're at. You know why? Because mass destruction weapons are in obscurity. You got to tap into how the kingdom sees you and start looking for confirmation horizontally and locally and start seeing yourself globally. When you see yourself globally, you realize you're classified. God told you to wear this today on the pulpit because he knew there'll be 100 streaming millennials on there who need to tap into Direction for Life conference. You're classified. Stop listening to the voices who don't have the same calling and purpose you have. You got to hear but not listen. You're a mass destructive weapon. You're a walking nuclear warhead, and you don't even know your code yet. And you're allowing everybody else to push your buttons, and you're exploding, wasting energy on fights that have no spoils. I want to talk to someone who's called to a strategic battle. Release when God tells you to release. Ignore what God tells you to ignore. Someone say, be it unto you. You're called to destroy something or build something. Period. What God placed in you is called to destroy something or build something. You should be either doing one or the other. We all should be building something or destroying something in our lives or in the lives of other people. Once again, people. Stephen was about people, not church people, not the six ones that were licensed with him. He was about people. So God knew he was a strategic, classified, young, licensed minister who was willing to be full of the Spirit and willing to release the master destroying weapon on the assignment that God has called him towards. And some people are frustrated and upset with you because you know how to release. Others know how to be religious, but you know how to release. You know how to write in your notebook every song without support. You got to learn how to work your gift without support. You should be either building or destroying something. So blessings and seasons of pregnancy, the marching orders from the throne to those who are pregnant right now or called the seasons of blessings are always obscurity. The biggest weapons in our country, no one knows where they are. Weapons of mass destruction, they are hidden in classified locations. Jesus was heaven's mass destructive weapon. The devil shakes the world with stuff. God shakes the world with people. So God shakes the world by sending Christ to it. And Mary says, be it unto me according to thy word. This type of faith, the enemy does not know what to do. This type of faith is willing to go unseen into hiding to birth a promise. Someone say, I'm hiding on purpose. I need a business person to look at someone to the left or right and say, South Carolina's just not ready yet. I'm almost there. I'm waiting for them to finish that building before I release that idea. Come on, someone prophesy. Prophesy to your marketplace. Say, I'm waiting for the industry to shift. God showed me something with the marketplace shifting. I'm going to release it. I'm waiting for them to build that development center first before I share what God put in me. God shakes the world with people. Satan shakes the world with stuff. This type of faith, that anybody doesn't know what to do, this type of faith is willing to go unseen into hiding to birth a promise. Mary and Joseph, this type of faith, even kings and government can't find you. The IRS, the government, shutdowns, politics, motives, don't know what to do with this type of person with this type of faith. They don't know where to attack you from because your source is nothing around you. They don't know where to attack you from. Now, I was praying about this obscurity concept, and when I first hear about this obscurity, a lot of times preachers and speakers talk about the perspective of you're not ready yet. There's something still in your life that God's still working in and working out. I'm still thankful for that covering of obscurity when it comes to those areas. But God started showing me another side of obscurity, that Jesus, when he was born, he was hidden in obscurity, but it wasn't because of sin in his life. It was because he was still a baby. Some of you are hidden because you can't run with it yet. God has protected you under Joseph and Mary to help you while you're whining and protect you because you're not ready for the release. We can tell you're not ready for the release because you cry too much about it. So we got to keep you close and hide you from the king who wants to abort the mission prematurely. Stop getting mad at your leaders for not releasing you. God will tell them. My God. Focus scripture. Let's go to scripture. I don't got much time with you. Scripture, Luke 1 and 30. Luke 1 and 30 is what it says. It says the angel said, it says the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom they shall be no end. I'm going to pause real quick. For my deaf people, scholarly type people, please remember this, write this down. Jesus is not even here yet, and the angel's telling Mary everything he will do and everything he'll become. Because you're going to see it later with Elisha. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I not know a man? See, she almost got stuck in math. Do math when God speaks to you, but don't get stuck in it. I'm going to say it again. Do math when God speaks to you, but don't get stuck in it. She almost got stuck in math. Let me tell you how she releases the math off her mind so that she can stay qualified to give birth to this type of promise. The angel answered her and said unto her, the Holy Ghost. I'll give you one answer to your math problem. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Are you running on empty? Get a faith boost with the Direction for Life Conference Series, full of faith. You'll receive powerful messages by Bishop Herbert Bailey, Dr. Marsha Bailey, Pastor Chandler Bailey, and ministry guests, Pastor Keon Henderson, Dr. Darius Daniels, and Bishop Joseph Walker. Order this powerful series today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order the Direction for Life Conference Series, full of faith. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.